Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy and Pastor Kyle Horner. Kyle is back from a quick trip to Fargo, North Dakota, where Carson Wentz and the AO1 Foundation did more incredible work, along with Thy Kingdom Come food truck. Now, the food truck is back.
Yeah, it's on its way back. We served about 1,400 meals and over 140 people come to know Jesus. Wow. Amazing. Yeah, pretty really incredible.
I love that they did the softball game with his former teammates in college.
It was so much fun, to be honest. It was so cool to watch. You know, it was great. I've had the opportunity to be, obviously, here at the one in Philadelphia and then out there. Very different, obviously, with the Eagles teammates playing here and then his NDSU teammates playing out there. But the crowds, they just loved it. It's it's such a fun time. And, you know, I do love what Carson is and AO1's doing, and both locally in Philly. Nationally and around the world, it's pretty impressive.
You ever think you were going to go to Fargo, North Dakota?
No, those three words I never thought I'd say. Fargo, North Dakota. Well, took me 17 hours to get home on Sunday, on Saturday, because of all the travel stuff.
Little flight
crazy.
Issues. You could have driven back. Probably.
I know, right?
Exactly. 17 hours.
Exactly.
Then flown back. So
it was nuts.
You had a quick trip to Fargo. I'm back. I had a long 1 day trip to Dallas, PA. I didn't even know Dallas, PA existed. And we went out to Dallas, PA last weekend and played on, visited a couple prisons, played four softball games, and had some issues there along the way with a blown out tire. Tried to change a flat tire in some, it was a store, some sort of automotive store. We pull in with a completely flat tire, a church van. It's got the cross on it and everything else. Guy comes out and demands we get off his property.
He couldn't handle your fire, dude. He just couldn't handle it.
I've had two indentations in the concrete from people trying to change tires. We're like, dude, all right, we'll get off your property. Go down the road. There was a tire place. They hooked us up. We got back.
What?
I was just about to say that's the only Dallas that is acceptable was Dallas, but obviously not.
No, apparently. But you know what? They were much more welcoming and hospitable in the prison than this man
makes
was.
Sense, yeah.
So, but Remy, she's back from her daily trips to the pool.
Yes. I spend a long day in a pool, guys.
Someone has to, Remy. You know what I'm saying? Someone
relaxing.
Has to.
So summer and, living. Killer tan?
Yes, it was great. But it was a long day with the girls, but it was a nice day.
Long day every day.
It's a long day every day.
Yeah. But I've been in there
days.
Five times now, so I'm happy.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm going to try and break my record of 9 last summer.
Get our pool's
money worth. Our guest this week is Randy Grimes. Randy started over 100 games at center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 80s and early 90s when they were absolutely woeful. I went and looked at their record, and they had not won more than 6 games in his entire.
Yeah.
3 times they were 2-14. And that's pretty rough, but.
And that's back in the orange, when they had the creamsicle uniforms. Yeah, absolutely.
I actually liked that.
I did too. I thought they were kind of cool. Yeah.
I liked that creamsicle uniform. But Randy Grimes is doing excellent, excellent work with the NFL Player Care Foundation. He's helping athletes in recovery. And I love the work that he's just doing, and he's got this powerful, powerful testimony. We're going to hear that coming up. We're going to get really deep and go get real with this topic. I want to dive into a message that I preached in prison twice at 2 different prisons last weekend to the inmates, and I've also shared this at churches before. And I just feel like so many of us can be helped by it, and I know I personally need this reminder oftentimes, and when I talk to the men in prison, they're not physically free.
Correct.
They don't have the freedom that we enjoy because they are behind bars and they have restrictions and they can't enjoy the freedom of going and coming as they please. Mm-hmm. But what I've come to realize in several trips, and sometimes when you go back to a prison a year after year, I know that some of those men have more freedom than many of us because they have spiritual freedom. And I think that applies to anyone who's got that spiritual freedom. Many of us are not free because we're chained to circumstances in our lives, and we're chained to, sometimes it's our debt and the bills, and we're chained to our jobs, or we're chained to our phones and our emails and our messages. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're chained to our popularity and what others mm-hmm. think of us. And we could be chained to the pursuit of money,
yeah.
the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of glory, the pursuit of success. We could be chained to just our circumstances, our issues, our health, our anger problems. We may have anxiety. We may have depression. We may have addiction. We could be, and many, many times, we could be chained to our past. Mm. What has been done to us, what has been said about us, how we've been treated, how we've been mistreated. And all these things, whatever it is in our case, whatever that we are chained to, whatever that we are shackled to, and when I'm in prison and I do this and I wrap something around my arms to show like actual physical chains, and it's never actually chains, it's like some kind of rope or whatever it is. But whatever it is that we are chained to, whatever it is that we are shackled to, and if it consumes us, but we could truly enjoy freedom spiritually if we come to know Jesus Christ. So it's not really about where we are physically, what our circumstances are. It's where we stand spiritually. And I tell those men, and I tell people wherever we go, and I do this message, if you want to really break the chains, if you want to really be set free, find that freedom in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe like every one of us can gain that freedom. It doesn't matter that what we've done in our past. It doesn't matter how far removed we think we are from God. We could gain that true freedom by surrendering everything to the Lord and dedicating our life to Christ. And it can be at any point in any time. And sometimes we feel like I've done, and what I use as an example is the Apostle Paul. Like if you feel that you have done so wrong, if you feel that you are so far removed from God, if we feel that I may be the worst person in the world, the Apostle Paul, the conversion from being a man who persecuted, hated, murdered in some instances Christians, to becoming a man who wrote 13 books in the New Testament and is looked at as one of the greatest disciples, if he can find that conversion through, and this, we know the story, and he's on the horse riding to Damascus, and he has this encounter with Jesus. We can all have that encounter with Jesus. You're never too far gone to find your way to Christ, to break free from those chains, and to become truly and spiritually set free. And that is a word of encouragement that I need when I find myself chained and shackled to the circumstances that I'm going through in my life. And that is a word of encouragement that I hope people out there can really just grasp onto and think about and try and identify with.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love that the way that you just described addiction, Rob, and bondage, because you know, Jesus said in John 10, "I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly." That word abundantly means to have in the fullest, to have completeness, wholeness in our life. And so often I think we think of addiction or things that bondages, addictions, as something very narrow. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, right? We kind of take them to the extremes. And yet, and we say things like this: I don't have an addiction, I just have bad habits. what's the difference between addiction and bad habits? Right? There isn't any. And that's where we just, but because addictions are really bad. No. Anything outside of the wholeness that Jesus can bring us. Anything out of the complete peace of God, the wholeness of God, the life of God, actually will always produce a bondage in our life.
Right.
And so what we actually see in those moments is distance from our love with Jesus Christ. Because 3 John chapter 2 says, John is saying, "I pray that you may be in health and prosper in all things as your soul prospers." Yeah. So health and prosperity outwardly are tied together with the health and prosperity inwardly.
Yeah.
And the struggle I think that we have so often as every human being. So I'm going to just say straight up, all of us struggle with addiction.
Yes,
all of us.
Yeah.
All of us struggle with bondages. All of us. They may be very different because an addiction isn't just what we do. It can be what we don't do.
Right.
When we don't offer forgiveness, when we don't offer mercy, when we don't offer grace, when we don't. So we're always thinking about when I do these things. No. Because sins of omission and commission are the same.
How about that?
So they may have different vertical consequences, right? So we understand a heroin addict may have much more vertical consequences, yeah. destruction of body and relationships and all those things. But the truth is, all of them had the same horizontal issues. All of them had the same vertical consequences. Right. Separate me with God. And I think that's the thing we have to step back with and be able to say, I have an issue. We have an issue. You know, Remy, you have an issue. All of us in this room have issues of this.
I got a lot of issues.
Right? I have a lot of issues.
And
a lot of
issues. At the core, so just so that we're on the same page when we, as our listeners, as our audience, we're on the same page. Basically, we fall into addiction when we look to anything other than the love of God to soothe whatever pain it is in our life that we're trying to soothe at that moment. Yeah. So any kind of addiction has temporary soothing power.
Yeah.
Right. I love food. Place. Right. I love food. And when I'm down sometimes, come on, somebody, I'm going to go grab, some food. And it makes you feel good in the moment, but it makes my waistline bad in the long term. And that's kind of what it's right.
That's a good
so
word.
The truth is anything that I turn to that I'm looking to soothe. And that's why I said, even sometimes there's things we don't do. I'm not going to forgive because I feel like I'm justified in holding on to my offense.
We got to take the word addiction and really expand it, because I feel like there's a stigma attached to addiction. And when we use the word addiction, we go, okay, alcoholism, like you were saying, drug addiction, sexual addiction.
Yes, sexual addiction, exactly.
And it's always, these things are so bad. And I'm not there, or I'm not there yet, correct. Or as you were saying, oh, I might have bad habits, but everything can be an addiction. And anything that we, as you were saying, anything that takes us away from the Lord that we use to soothe, man, you think about that, and you think about the little things through your daily life, just picking up your phone. 8 hours and 49 minutes, because that's what the little notification tells you. How much you used it on average.
That's pretty scary, by the way.
How is that not? You look at that, and that's an addiction.
Yeah.
You look at these things, or even the pursuit of at work, you go, I gotta work more. I gotta work harder.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm trying to better my family situation, my financial situation, maybe get ahead at my job, do different things. But when do you cross that line of working hard, right?
Yes.
Working hard as if you're trying to please the Lord, not your human master.
Right.
At the same time, when does that line become an addiction to where that is consuming you, and there's a reverse, there's a negative in there, not a positive?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
When that thing is driving me, when it has my focus, when it has my attention, worship, focus is worship. So whatever we give our focus to, and look to that to satisfy our life, and that's why I love what you just said about work, because every addict, which means all of us, every addict has a reason for their addiction, right? I mean, if you sit down and say, why are you this? It doesn't matter what the addiction is. People will tell you the reason why they have it. So when work becomes an addiction, and we say, yeah, but I'm just trying to, you know, move ahead with my job or my career, or help to put food on the table for my family, want to make a better life. That's every addict has a reason for their addiction.
Right.
What are we focusing on? Love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything that we are. Focus on Him. Worship the Lord your God and none other. So these things, when we actually look to something else to soothe our life, to complete our life, to satisfy our life, to provide for our life, to heal our life, all of those things become basic idols. And an addiction at its core is looking to an idol, it's idolatry, looking to an idol other than God to fulfill that need in your life.
You're right. There is always something that you're looking for to fulfill this void that is inside of you. And I know from experience, I had so many things that I was doing, but I'm not really proud of doing. And it was habits that I had to just break free from. And there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, I don't think I can break that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as, like, I drink a lot of Coke and I drink a lot of coffee a day. How do
Hey,
I'm sorry, but it is true.
Don't be meddling. No, you're so right, Robbie. It's so right. Yeah, it could be anything, right? That's what we're saying. It could be anything.
It's a lot of things that
from
you're
the person
like,
who only drinks water over there.
Well, no, I drink water.
You do drink
coffee
every now and then.
And tea.
Okay.
That's all right. I drink. Those are not the bad habits, although you can think.
Shout out to this mom. Her kids are almost six now. Our kids are almost six. They've never tasted soda.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. They have wow.
Or certain fast food chains, but let's not drop those names either.
No, yeah.
They were like, well, Mommy, what's that? Mommy, what's a hot dog? Come on. I'm like, yes, women parenting.
They had to make them at camp the other day, yeah. And they're like, We made hot dogs and we didn't eat them because they're disgusting. I'm like, you can't say that in front of other kids.
Yeah. I was like, guys, you only say it's not for me. That's the polite thing to say. It's just not for me. So anyway.
And it can't have mustard on it, according to Rob. I'm just saying, yeah, there's no mustard or mayo.
We are a weird family.
Actually, my kids have never had mustard, ketchup, or hot dog,
they're following Dad's footsteps.
Or any soda. So, hey, I'm proud of myself, so whatever. So... So anyway, so yeah, we all have habits. We all have things that we're just not proud of. And, you know, it's funny because we always think, like, what do I do to break away from those chains?
Yes.
What do I do to get away from those habits? And I know from experience, the day I invited the Holy Spirit in, that was the day my chains were broken. And it were chains that I've been battling with for years and years and years. And I thought to myself, there was going to be no way that those chains are going to be broken. But they broke free that exact moment. So you will think, you're probably wondering, like, oh, really? That's not true. Really? I'm going to tell you it is true.
Absolutely.
Because in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's basically saying, I am the light, and when there is light, there is no darkness. And it is literally like flipping a switch.
Yeah, no doubt.
There was darkness on your heart.
Yeah.
Now you flip the switch.
Yeah.
There is now light.
Yeah.
There's no more space for darkness. But there's going to be times where the devil's going to try you and is going to remind you, because memory is very funny. Mm. Your memory is going to not serve you correctly
always.
All the time.
Yeah.
And is going to remind you of the things you've done, the things you can do, and the things that used to comfort you that you can no longer do because that light now exists in your life. And the enemy's going to go, but you used to do this, and it used to be so much fun.
Yes.
This used to be good for you. You used to like it. But then you're also going to – the light is going to say – but it was momentarily, and it used to drive you insane, and you used to hate it, and it used to be awful for you.
Yes.
And it brings you back. And that's the power of the light that shines in you. So, yes, it is like flipping a switch. And, yes, it is an exact moment where you surrender every single thing. That heavy burden that was on your shoulder is going to lift all of a sudden. And you're going to feel something so powerful that comes over you, and it will transform your life in such a way that you will never look back at those habits and those things that used to just hinder your life and drive you insane and make you miserable all day long. It's a powerful, powerful
thing. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there is this amazing ability for the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, because we can't, you know, we're always trying to change ourselves. And just like we've talked in the show 1,000 times, we can't save ourselves. So if we're incapable of doing that, we're actually incapable of truly perfecting ourselves at any state. I think the one thing that I would say, Remy, is that I think when the light comes in, it continues to show us, as we walk with God, the areas of darkness we still have in our life.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the reality is, I love Walt Disney. You know, you guys know I love Walt Disney. Disney had a statement when he was talking about Epcot, you know, this futuristic city he was doing.
Yeah.
He said it would always be in a state of becoming.
Oh,
and I thought, man, that is exactly what Christianity is.
So true.
The truth is that we're always in a state of becoming. I'll never be free from temptation. I'll never be free from wanting to self-soothe and self-medicate. Because that's what addiction is. It's just a self-medication.
Yeah.
So there's always a temptation there. And the issue is, many times, you're right, Remy, I can be set free from the things that I used to go to.
Yes.
And yet, that still is, right? There's still things that I want to walk into now that I didn't even recognize.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 51 now. There are things that tempt me now that didn't tempt me before. And there are things that I used to fall into before that don't have any power over me now.
Right.
But, you know, I was straight up. This sounds so stupid.
That's what it is. The power.
It's power.
That's it. It will have no power over you. You will remember.
Correct.
It just will not have that
power. It doesn't have any
power
because those areas of my life, it's not just a surrender moment. It's I realized in that moment.
Yeah.
And those things were robbing intimacy with me and God. So I want, the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I understand those things that separate me from Him cause pain. And I don't, but it caused Him pain and me pain. And at the end of that, it can't just be, we cannot just choose to have a better life, or I just want to be healthy, or I just want to, because what ends up happening is, you know, we go from one addiction that is less healthy, yeah. right, to a better healthy addiction right. that, yeah. that completes us. So, right. like, here's to be honest, I know this sounds really stupid, but it was for me. I was a church addict. And what I mean by that is, like, for like 10 years when we first started the church, everything was about the church. Everything. Yeah. Everything. My whole focus, my energy. Wow. My self-worth, the value that I got mm-hmm. out of things. So, you know, the truth was I was doing godly things. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom line, if I really wanted to get down to it, mm-hmm. because it actually blessed me, because I was being invited to go speak at conferences, yeah. because I was, wow. you know, people were looking at me talking about how great church was and how big church was. And we had one of the fastest growing churches in New Jersey, all that kind of stuff. Those things were great. And it fed my flesh.
Your ego.
So yeah. it sounds like was I doing yeah. anything bad? Was I sinning? Right
no.
from other
no.
people's perspective, but I was sinning because the church had become an idol
yeah.
for
wow.
me, and when I got away and I started looking at the real part of myself and saying I love church more than I love Jesus, I love church more than wow. I love Jesus,
yes.
and I will tell you, in my opinion, I found a lot of people that are very much who come to church who love church. Mm-hmm. A lot more than they love Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's easy because you're getting benefit from church all the time. If it's a good church, you're getting benefit from it all the time. You're being entertained by it. You walk away from Sunday feeling really good about yourself and life.
Wow.
And church has been exchanged for intimacy. Attendance at church has been exchanged for intimacy with Jesus.
You're right. And there's a lot of us. And I mean, sometimes we all fall short. But we all fall in love with what God is doing through us and not in us. And we have to be so, 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 so addicted to what he's doing in us and not
Absolutely.
Through us. Because once you change and your heart changes, that's everything to God. He doesn't care if you just stay at home and do nothing as long as your heart is changed and really is sold out for him.
Yeah, you're focused towards him.
It's not about the ministry. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about the out things that people see that you're
yeah.
doing. It's
yeah.
about what your heart represents and what heart. Your heart is for, and it's for Jesus.
I'll tell you how I had to grow in that. And this topic today came about because, well, we have Randy on, and I spoke at in prisons the other day. In maybe a couple years ago, when we'd go into a prison, and if I was speaking, I would be disappointed if I saw. So we get to speak to the crowd, the players,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of inmates. So if there's sometimes my first experience with the Deacon's Prison Ministry, I spoke in front of maybe 500, 600, 700, 800 people.
Yeah.
And there was a time 2 years ago, I spoke and the alarm went off. Mm-hmm. So it was time for all of those watching to go back to their cells,
uh-huh.
right? So now I had only an audience of the team we played against.
Right.
And I felt the energy.
Mm-hmm.
In my,
yep. Yep.
in what I was about to present.
I remember
present,
you telling me about this, yeah. Yep.
The energy yep. diminished.
Yes.
Right? It dropped.
Yes.
Right.
And I said to myself, exactly what you just
yeah.
made that point.
Yeah.
Am I concerned about what he's doing through me
yep.
or in me?
Yeah.
And am I concerned about how many people I, because if only one person hears and receives this message,
that's
enough.
Absolutely.
So I got to speak at both this weekend. The first one was a small group. The second one was a larger group, but I tried to maintain the same energy level for both and just focus on the message. But what I did was a little bit different than anything we've ever done. Normally,
welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
We hand out what we have
Kyle
given them
Horner and Remy.
And they fill out a box, right?
They fill out a box.
Go to faithonthefieldshow.com.
Today.
You can find all of
I've
our previous shows
Christ,
and
no,
listen anytime
ready, like
at your convenience. You can
well,
also follow
so
us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list on our website.
Conveniently,
episode and blog delivered right there
to your inbox. I
also posted
I don't care.
Speaking appearances.
Social
that's
media.
So
you know
when I came to give the
sports
invitation,
shows on 97.5, the Fanatic 2 as well,
step
you can
forward.
Follow me
Great.
At Rob Motti on Twitter. Remy
and,
is
and
at Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle is
one
at
of the guys
Kyle
said to me, he's like,
J.
That's a
Horner.
Lot of faith
Carson Wentz is entering his fourth season as the starting quarterback,
and I said, I don't
the franchise quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He just signed a 4-year, $128 million extension.
I'm just
full disclosure. We know Carson very well, Pastor Kyle. You're very close with him. His audience of One Foundation partnered with your church. Connect Church to launch Thy Kingdom Crumb food truck, which made its way to North Dakota this week for the AO1 charity softball game featuring Carson's former Bison teammates.
It goes beyond.
I chatted with Carson before the game in Philly.
They visually
featured the Eagles players' offense versus defense. The interview is brought to you by Restelli Foods Group and their new Butcher Shop Craft Burgers. They are the only frozen burgers offering convenience with the superior taste and quality of Butcher Shop beef.
I remember 2 years ago we talked about it.
Get yours at your local Acme supermarket or any Restelli location.
Because so much of our value when we have those moments in public ministry are, did I do well? Well, how do I determine whether I did well? By the response.
By the numbers,
right? And instead of being able to say, no, what was I supposed to deliver? Yeah. And if I stewarded what God gave me well, then the only one who needs to be happy with that is Him. But that's why I was saying with what we were just saying with what Remy said. I constantly have to struggle all the time to keep my life submitted. You know, you and I've talked about it, Rob, a lot. Why don't I do what I do on public on social media? Yeah. You know, it would be really easy for the number of players who come to our church for me to utilize their platform to help grow church.
And nobody would think of you differently, Kyle, if you posted a picture in a group with you and various guys, whether it's Carson, Zach, and so many different players who go through Connect Church. Nobody would think differently of you, yet.
But
you,
I would.
You would.
Because I know why. Because I know the real reason why I'd be doing it.
Right.
And so that's where this comes into. It's not even about what other people think about you. It really is coming back into what do you struggle with? Because I'm not saying pastors are wrong for doing that. No. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that.
Right.
Hey, somebody who does that's wrong. I know what's wrong for me because I know what door it would open up in me. I know what it would speak to my heart. And getting back to 3 John 2, right? Where there is, you know, my life's prosperity is partly determined by my soul's prosperity. So I'm not going to, what is it in my life that I'm allowing my soul to be connected to that's unhealthy?
Yeah.
And why am I allowing that to be connected to that? Because at the end of the day, I love that thing and what that thing does. And it's a love issue and a trust issue.
Yeah.
I trust that that thing will bring me more peace, more value, more sense of worth, more happiness than I trust that God will. And I know we'll never say that theologically, but every time we turn to something other than Him, we are making a bold proclamation that we are trusting this drug, this success, this moment, this attention, this video site that I'm going to, whatever it is that we're turning to, I trust that this will bring me more sense of happiness and peace and completion in this moment than I believe God will.
I want to touch on a little bit what you said a few minutes ago, Remy, in when you surrender it all and invite the Holy Spirit in, that burden that you feel, that weight is lifted, because I experienced that. I've talked about it on this show.
I
share it when I give my testimony.
No doubt. Yeah.
On August 29, 2010, when I stood in front of that church, at the front altar of that church, where I was at Times Square Church, and I invited Christ into my heart and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior, to be with me everywhere I go, to guide me, to lead me, to direct me, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I have never felt such relief.
Yes.
I literally walked out of that church feeling like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders.
Very true.
And you also talked about how you're still going to face tough times and temptation.
You do.
And I'm not going to sit here and lie to people and say, that moment, I instantly became a completely transformed man.
That means you're
and didn't
that
fall
means you're
back
perfect.
Into
exactly.
sin.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
I even struggled with that kind of sin for a few more months.
Of course. Yeah.
And it's still something that I'm sure I will always have to be careful
guard,
of.
Guard against. Guard your heart and your mind as you
I have to be careful of. So I love how you're letting people know, we're letting people know that, when you do that, when you invite the Lord in, when you invite the Holy Spirit in, when you truly want to break free of those chains of bondage, those chains, whatever it is that you are shackled to, you will feel instant relief. Your life isn't going to be completely easier. And we'll talk about Paul a little bit later on, too, after the interview. Because when Paul went from murdering Christians to becoming the greatest disciple, his life got a whole lot tougher. My man was shackled and chained in prison.
Shipwrecked, beaten,
writing some of the happiest books.
Not the kind of stone we're talking about. Yes, exactly.
He's writing some of the happiest books of the New Testament. I don't know how he's doing it in bondage and chains and whipped and beaten and all that stuff. But he's doing it he didn't care about his circumstances.
Yeah.
He didn't find comfort in his circumstances. He cared about his calling. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about his comfort. It was about his calling.
Yep.
And that's what I'm trying to, and we're trying to do today, is to convey to people and just share this message of you can break those chains and be truly set free spiritually. It's not about where you are physically. It's about where you are spiritually. And the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who could truly set you free. Up next on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from former NFL player Randy Grimes.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Kyle Horner and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show that we have done since we started in April 2017. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We would appreciate if you share it out, if you rate it, if you review it. If you do all that stuff, we would tremendously appreciate that. You can also follow us on all platforms of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, and you can get our weekly episode and a blog delivered right to your inbox. I will also be posting my speaking appearances on social media, when I'm doing shows, on sports shows, on other stations, 97.5 The Fanatic, and 610 ESPN, so we'll let you know that too as well. You can follow me at Rob Motti, Remy at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. Our guest this week, Randy Grimes, was a second-round pick, 45th overall by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 1983 draft. He was part of some bad teams there, as I mentioned earlier in the show. They never won more than six games in his nine seasons. Three times they were 2-14, but he persevered. He stuck it out. He started over 100 games at center, anchoring that offensive line, which is not an easy thing to do. He experienced some struggles that carried over after his career ended, but he overcame all of those struggles, and now he's helping athletes in recovery. He's working for the Transformations Treatment Center and the NFL Player Care Foundation, and God is using him in great ways, and he's doing amazing things. Here is my interview with Randy Grimes. Randy, welcome to the show. What you're doing, using your story of addiction recovery to help victims of drug and alcohol abuse, with your work with the NFL Player Care Foundation, tell us what inspired you to do this and how much your faith plays a role in what you're doing trying to help these guys and everyone.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, first of all. And I want to say that I've always been a believer. You know, my addiction started back when I played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was that guy that was willing to do whatever I had to do to stay out on the field, not always be on the injury report. I didn't want anybody else in my position, you know, so I was going to, that meant taking handfuls of pain pills as a player to stay out on the field. And I looked at it as a necessary evil back then that, you know, I wanted to feed my family. I wanted to be the best center I could, and I wanted to play as long as I could. So, you know, what I never expected to do was take that necessary evil, which was really just a full-blown addiction, into my private life and my retired life. And for the next 20 years, you know, I couldn't stop that cycle of insanity, you know, and it was the chronic pain was getting worse, the tolerance of the medication was getting worse, the addiction and the consequences were getting worse. And so that's my message, is that there is hope, there is restoration. I was in a deep, dark place for a long time, and God never left me, you know. God was always there. I mean, I'm here right now,
right?
Because God continuously saved my life. I used to pray that God would open the gates of heaven and let me in, you know, but what he did was he opened the gates of hell and let me out.
How about that? And that's so powerful when you say he never left you, because a lot of times we think that becoming a Christian, becoming a believer, it kind of, there's a story that's sold to people like it's a magic pill where everything's instantly going to become better and, hey, I'm saved, and you take, but it's not true, because in many cases your life becomes more difficult once you commit to Christ, because the enemy's working harder now to try and take you away. He never left you. He was always with you. But you have to seek that help. You have to call out to him. Is that what happened in your life?
That's exactly right. And you know, he was always there for me. But, you know, I was just in such a deep, dark place. And also there was a lot of guilt and shame, you know. And that prevented me. Like, I wasn't worthy of his support and his help and his guidance. And, you know, it's like all those things are going on, and then the addiction just keeps getting worse. The mental health issues just keep getting worse. And but I'm so grateful for where I am now. I mean, it's because of God. And really, 2 weeks into my – I was in treatment at a recovery center in West Palm Beach. I was in there for 90 days. And exactly 2 weeks into the process, I was sitting at a picnic table. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 8:45 in the morning on a Wednesday. And for whatever reason, I used to get up and write every day. While I was going through the process, you know, I would just get up and write down what I was going through, how I was feeling, all that. But this particular morning, 8:45 on a Wednesday, I was sobbing uncontrollably, you know. And this was only 10 years ago. And I was sitting at this picnic table. I couldn't stop crying because I remember thinking, if this is what being sober feels like after 20-plus years of addiction, I don't want to have any part of it, because all that guilt and shame of the huge wake of wreckage that I left back at home with my family and my friends and all the jobs I lost and cars I lost, if this is what being sober feels like, I don't want to have any part of it. It was like, guys, at that very second that all this was going on, it was like somebody came up behind me and draped a warm quilt around my shoulders. And I say quilt because I remember feeling weight and warmth on my shoulders. And that was my spiritual awakening as far as what God wanted me to do with what I had been through the last 20 years. And that was to help other guys find recovery, other guys that I'd played with and against. And that began my work with the Player Care Foundation after the Impact Fund and Gridiron Greats.
Now, you're the founder of Athletes in Recovery. How much, and you go out and you speak to different guys and you try and help them. When you have that opportunity to speak to guys and just really pull them aside or have a one-on-one conversation with them and tell them, hey, there is something better for you. You can find your way out of this. Do you try and guide them in a way? Because some guys don't want to be preached at.
Right.
They don't want you to shove a Bible down their throat or hit them over the head with
it.
But do you find a way to work that message into them to let them know you have the greatest helper out there?
Mm-hmm. I try to meet guys where they're at, first of all. I mean, first and foremost, I want them to get help. I want them to get sober. I want them to go through a good, safe medical detox, whatever their issues are. And if it's just mental health, I want them to go through the process with a counselor. But through that process, you know, I want them to find a power greater than themselves, you know. And then through that, the Lord reveals himself. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny that, you know, I was raised Southern Baptist in the Bible Belt, you know, in East Texas. And, you know, it's amazing to me that the people that I come across that have never been exposed to that kind of upbringing or had those kind of role models in their life, you know, they it's like they've been cheated out of that opportunity, you know, to really grasp what God's love can do for you and what a relationship with God is capable of doing. And, you know, I just love to see the light come on and the miracle happen through recovery that people find God.
Well, Randy Grimes, what you're doing is incredible work. You're serving the kingdom. You're doing a tremendous job.
Thank
and
you.
We really appreciate you spending a few minutes with
Thank
us here.
And I appreciate you for having people on like this.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
That was former Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive lineman Randy Grimes. We'll talk about his interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. We just heard Randy Grimes share his story, powerful story. And I think all of us were in agreement when Remy said before the show, I love what he said. And we were all like, yeah, this part, right? Where he said, I was in a deep, dark place for a long time, and God never left me. I used to pray that God would open the gates of heaven and let me in. But what he did, he opened the gates of hell and he let me out.
Oh, it's so powerful.
Man, as we talk about breaking those chains, right? Yes. Those chains of addiction, whatever addiction we have. And if you're just tuning in now, we're not just talking about drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, and what we society puts a big stigma on.
Yes.
Anything. Yes. Anything can be an addiction. But when you break free of those chains, that is God releasing you from the gates of hell. Yes. That is you coming out from the gates of hell. It is so powerful what he said there.
Yeah.
I listened to that and I was like, man, I don't know. I appreciate it as soon as he said it. I appreciate it more. The more I probably listened to the interview two or three times since then. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's beautiful, right? I mean, it's about understanding your positioning and God's intentionality towards us. Yes. in recognizing that. You know, we really are in this place of bondage and oppression. Matter of fact, that's actually what Jesus said. Jesus begins his ministry by saying in Luke 4, right? The spirit of the sovereign Lord, which Remy, we mentioned earlier, the spirit comes and it's actually to set people free, to set those who are in bondage free. Yeah. And I think that's when we understand that we are just like you were saying, Rob, this last week, you were with people who are in prison. Mm-hmm. No matter their best intentions, no matter what they could do in that side of that prison, they cannot get out. They are imprisoned to that thing. Mm-hmm. They need someone to open the door for them. They don't have the key. They don't have the power. Mm-hmm. They are powerless. In my natural state, away from the love of God, I am powerless to get out of the bondage of sin that I'm in. And sin manifests itself in all these different types of bondages and addictions and everything else. So I am caught in what Randy said is right. I'm caught in hell. In this reality, but Jesus came and unlocked the prison door. Right. That's actually why he left heaven, because I can't get to him, so he came to me. He unlocked the door. He paid my ransom, right? He set us free so that, and Galatians 5:1, talking about Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has come to set me free, so I no longer have to be bound to the yoke of slavery again. Mm. I don't have to go back into it. It's a beautiful picture what Randy says.
Sometimes, you guys, the burden is so heavy that you pray and say, God, take me, right? There's people out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd rather die than live this. Yeah.
Open the heavens and take me, as he was saying. Open the heavens and take me. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to give you a key. I'm going to give you my spirit. Here's my spirit. Get out of hell.
Yeah.
Okay? Get out of hell. Here's a key for how to get out of hell. And I'm going to get you out, but I need you to do something with that key. I need you to fix what's going on with you and fix others and give them the key. And that's what Jesus always loves to do. He always loves to give you the key to prosper, the key to live a good life, the key to just get out of hell, because we all have our little hell.
Oh, no doubt.
And we all live in that little bondage. Right. We all live in that hell, but he wants to give you that key today to give you just get out of that hell that you're living in.
Well, what did Randy say, Remy, on there? That I was at that table. I was crying and saying,
yes,
this is what being sober is
right.
like. Yeah. Right?
Living
in this guilt and shame.
Yes.
I don't want to feel this way.
Right. Wow.
And it really is getting back to this, what you're talking about. Man, when we allow guilt and shame of the circumstance that we've lived in to condemn our lives and actually speak that negative lie into our life, that this is who we are. We are what we've done. Mm-hmm. We are what we've done.
Yeah.
I am not identified by what was done to me or what was done by me. I'm only identified by what was done for me on the cross of Jesus.
Yes.
And when you can actually begin to understand that he didn't die for me, he died as me.
Yes.
So everything that I did, he died for, as. So it is set free. The price has been been paid. Yeah. Doesn't mean like what Remy said. I still have to make sure that I. There are earthly consequences,
yeah.
right? There are
yeah,
things
yeah.
that I'm still going to need yeah. to absolutely bring yeah. reconciliation to certain things and, yeah. and try to bring ask for forgiveness in certain things that I've done.
Yeah.
But when it comes to me and my relationship with God, it is settled at the cross. The cross is the final word
absolutely.
On everything in our lives.
Absolutely.
We talk about Paul earlier and how I use this story of Paul and his conversion when I'm sharing with the inmates when he's his vision is taken away from him when he's temporarily blinded
yep.
and he realizes that it was Christ the Lord before him and Jesus said, get up and follow my orders. And now he got up, but he was blind. And Jesus, what he did there was he took his sight physically so he could make him really see spiritually. And then he regains his vision through the miracle and his name is changed and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he becomes the strongest disciple, but his life doesn't become easier after that. As we mentioned a little bit ago, his life becomes even more difficult. He was free when he was persecuting Christians. He had physical freedom.
Correct.
He's going around
prosperity, fame. Absolutely right. Yeah.
He did whatever he wanted to do. But now that he's on the other side, because back then, and I think it's important to make sure people realize and remember this, back then Christianity was looked upon as illegal.
It was illegal.
You know,
in the Roman Empire.
Yeah,
yes,
you
right.
couldn't be. So now he's one of them. He's one of he's a Christian. At first they didn't believe him. You know, he's out there and he's sharing and he's spreading the gospel and they're like, well, how is this guy, how does he have, you preached about
credibility,
right? Oh, I love
issue, right?
It.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
How does it, what an awesome sermon, by the way. Shout out to Pastor Kopp. If you want to check it out, they can find it on a podcast, right? They can go on the Connect Church podcast.
It's pretty good.
But he had to gain credibility
after
that because of who he was in the past. And I always feel like sometimes those who knew me back then and see me now don't recognize the credibility that I have. How can you be talking about this because, I knew
this
you in 2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, where you been since 08 to 2019? It's not, you know, it's not the same. Oh, how can that happen? Well, look at Paul. So when anybody ever wants to say to you, okay, you know, a leopard doesn't change his spots.
Yeah.
You can never truly change. Once a cheater, always a cheater, or whatever it is that you were in your past life. Just look at Paul, like this ultimate example of Paul, as someone who converts from where he was and what he did. And I just love to give that example because, you know, here's a guy who was going through the worst and most difficult times, yet he was happy. Even though he lost his physical freedom, he was spiritually free. And
we look at the heroes of the faith. We always talk about all these heroes, right? I mean, look, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was an idolater and an adulterer. David was an adulterer. Moses was a murderer.
Right.
You know, when
the disciples
are all messed up, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Peter denies Jesus, attacks somebody with a sword.
Yeah.
You know, everyone runs away. They all. So when you actually look at all these things, it's a. Christianity is about not about perfect things making their way to heaven. It's about broken things becoming whole. And that's where I come back and go, no, I am broken. You know, Jesus said, hey, physician, heal thyself, right? What he's saying is good luck with that. I love what you just said about Paul, and it's one of those things that often gets overlooked. He becomes blind in that moment. And I think this is one of my personal beliefs. I think God takes away his sight because there are a lot of things that we can heal ourselves. If he would have fallen off the donkey and broke his leg, it would have eventually healed, right? If he would have got a concussion, it would have eventually healed. But
you
God
think they
said,
diagnosed those?
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't think there was CTE back then.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
but what he did is God said, you know what? I'm gonna do something in your life that shows you are completely powerless without me.
Mm-hmm.
You think who you are is powerful, but right now I'm going to show you that you are completely powerless without me.
Right.
Now, Paul, when you've surrendered, I'm going to remove that which made you powerless so that you can now redefine being powerful in me.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are so different. And I think there's that time in our life where that's what Remy was talking about, that surrender moment, when we have to realize, no, I am powerless to break this thing.
Right.
Because we can make better habits, and we all know, look, habits are – Can be broken in 21 days and made in 21 days.
Right.
And so, look, you can reshape your habits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not talking about reshaping your habits. I'm talking about being whole. Those two things are completely different. And we can only be found whole in Jesus.
Right.
And that's the key right there. We can only be made whole in Jesus. We can only be truly set free in Jesus. We can only really feel that spiritual freedom in Jesus. I want to share this quick story. In prison the other day, we met a guy. He pitched for one of the teams, and he's been there for 28 years. His name is Chuck.
Wow.
And this week he's being released. He's being exonerated. He was falsely accused. This man was he could be angry, he could be bitter, he could be resentful. 28 years.
Wow.
He was the nicest guy I've played against in 6 years doing this. Can you imagine 28 years of your life, and now he's going to get to move on with his life? I don't know where he begins. I don't know where he starts, but that was incredible.
Powerful.
Incredible. Thank you to all our listeners, our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, Randy Grimes. Thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman. He does tremendous work, excellent work on our website, our podcast, our blog, everything that he does. We really, truly appreciate it. Jim Henderson does great work for us behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thanks to 610 ESPN, Philly 107.5 Alive, Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.